Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from Wild Turkey Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Let's tune in to their one-on-one with Jamal, a real bartender from Old Fourth Ward in Atlanta.
I really get into the backstory of whatever I'm pouring. Out of respect, there are literally years of experience behind these bottles. Wild Turkey, same recipe since 1942. If you want a true classic, this is what you want to order.
Wild Turkey. Wild Turkey Distilling Company, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Copyright 2020, Campari American, New York, New York. Never compromise, drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Tuesday, December 29th, and final edition of the RotoWire NFL free agent version of the podcast. Week 16 championship weeks is in the books. Hopefully, you are not in a league that is in a championship week 17, but if you are, we got you covered. I'm Joe Bartle. You can follow me at JB Fantasy Sports, joining alongside me, as always, as we've done almost the entire year, Jake Litarski. You can follow him at RotoJake. You know what? It's been a crazy season. This is my birthday, so we're doing a birthday podcast on top of the
birthday
championship.
Boy.
We're going to go ahead
and get
give...
any championships for your birthday
yes.
week.
That's a yes, yeah. two. All two. Right. I went 2-for-4. 2-for-4.
Nice, nice. I won our NFL, our staff dynasty league, yep. the inaugural season, and I'm still clawing in stake league. So I'm going to definitely be using some of these pickups this week.
Unfortunately,
I put up 155 last week, and I think I passed Mario actually to get to sneak into the last buyer spot.
Okay.
So I got to catch Herbert Aaron this week.
Yeah, unfortunately, I put up 80 points in the Stake League finals.
Oh.
So not only did I just completely lose, I also now have put myself firmly in the middle of the pack. If I have another bad week like that, yep. it could be bad news for me in week 17, but I still feel pretty good. But yeah, 2 of the 4 championships. Stephon mm-hmm. Diggs did a great job in helping me win. Unfortunately, I was facing Josh Allen in another league. I had Stephon Diggs, so that basically mm-hmm. canceled out. But it was a good season all around. We're going to break down some of the fantasy award winners for free agent pickups. We're also going to do our first 2021 mock draft, 12-team half-point PPR towards the end of the show, which I'm excited to do. But first, we got to talk about how the Patriots dynasty has officially ended.
Yes.
With the Bills now winning 2 consecutive games against their division rival.
RIP to the New England Patriots dynasty. This is glorious. I think every football fan wants this. Every team, in one way or another, has been wronged or hurt by the Patriots. The Patriots have cheated their way to a bunch of titles. You can put a bingo card with all their violations on it. But finally, it's over, and we get to see them get stomped on. And, you know, know, they won a little, few too many games this year to really be ever in the, sniffing the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. I thought this was going to be a case at the beginning of the year where, like, how's Belichick going to game the system, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to have everybody sit out, then they're going to only win one game, then they're going to end up with Trevor Lawrence and the dynasty will continue. Of course, that was wrong. But all the credit to the Bills, man. Josh Allen looking like a top fantasy quarterback. Stephon Diggs, we're doing our mock draft later in the show, and I don't think I could quite put him in my top 12 overall for next year. But, man, you really have to think about it, and he's looking like a second-round fantasy pick for sure.
He actually might be a first-round pick for me. I don't want to spoil it, but he might be up there at that point. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. He's been fantastic. Obviously, leads the NFL in receiving or receptions right now. The touchdowns have been insane, too, for him, given what we've seen in the past. But Josh Allen has kind of made Stephon Diggs into what we have seen now from this season fantasy-wise. And it's a glorious thing. Like you said, it's a glorious thing. The other part I want to talk about, is Cam Newton a starting NFL quarterback in 2021? Because it's been like 4 years now of him actually being good, and I've been telling everybody under the sun this offseason, I don't think Cam Newton is very good. I'm not convinced on yet. Here I took him in a best ball league and has completely sunk my chance at the top prize, but I just like, this was a bad performance, and mm-hmm. I think Jared Stidham almost is guaranteed to start next week in a meaningless game for the Patriots.
Yeah, Newton will end up starting somewhere, you know, next season. That will be my prediction. However, he will not be drafted in the top 24 fantasy quarterbacks, and that's really what we're, you know, we kind of got our eyes on. He'll be a streaming option at best with rushing upside, but outside of two quarterback leagues, there's no reason to touch him in a fantasy format.
He just doesn't look like he can throw the ball. Obviously, he can still be mm-hmm. the runner. We know he's the bludgeoning ram that he is at the goal line. But as a quarterback, I just don't know if I see it anymore with Cam Newton. So that'll be interesting, of course. Probably a conversation we can have in July or August when we are going back to this. But this is the Waiver Wire show, the final Waiver Wire show of the RotoWire NFL season. So with that, let's probably touch on a few of these positions. Running back actually is surprisingly deep. It's the first time, feels like in 10 weeks now, where we've had a deep selection of running backs available.
Yeah, there are definitely, if you're playing this week, week 17, which really, we both have stake league, and that's really all we have going. I'm absolutely putting bids out on, we got to start with the Packers, right? A.J. Dillon coming through. I mean, Jamal Williams missed this game with a quad injury. Aaron Jones doesn't have an official injury designation. You'll want to look at his practice report, but he did leave with the game with a hip injury, then later return. I mean, the Packers do have to play for seeding in week 17. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if these guys are healthy, I imagine they're going to go. But it also seems like they can get by pretty fine with A.J. Dillon, who 124 yards, two touchdowns at 8% rostered on Yahoo. I mean, people have pretty much cut bait with him. He was like your last pick in the draft or late in the year, you know, just in case Aaron Jones turned out to be a stud in a contract year. But A.J. Dillon, man, he's someone I'm looking for. He's unfortunately already picked up in keeper and dynasty leagues, of course, usually, but it's still worth typing the name in just in case. But at 8%, he's someone that can be useful in week 17.
Yeah, and a couple of the pseudo-dynasty keeper leagues I do, I had to drop him just because he was a net negative on the roster. Mm-hmm. But we knew what the potential could be. Well, we unfortunately for me, but fortunately for Packer fans and just everybody out there, got to see what that potential looked like in a snowy game at Lambeau Field.
And even though he had an excellent game, I think he can actually be better. You know, there's a couple things that I watched. To me, I think there's some vision that needs to develop. He hits that hole pretty quickly and gets right into his guy. Sometimes I think maybe taking a half a step of patience to watching the play develop a little bit more and have that vision grow. You know, if he gets that component to this game, then he could be very well a complete back. And the Packers have a lot of decisions to make next year in terms of free agency. You know, you'd like to see him re-sign Aaron Jones, but, you know, the running backs don't matter. Crowd's going to jump in there and Jones will demand a contract, a much higher contract, whereas Dillon, you know, you got him on a rookie deal here next to nothing. So
Williams too. Williams' contract is up as well. I'm hoping Williams just ends up being a compensatory pick for the Texans or something. I don't know. Like, he just somebody might sign him to some sort of
I mean, he's fine. You miss the dynamic explosiveness of Aaron Jones, of course, but they'll be just fine at the position if Aaron Jones does walk. And, you know, that's a reason to see A.J. Dillon definitely bumping his way up dynasty lists. And even with a healthy Aaron Jones, I think he finds a role in the playoffs too.
He caught passes and the pass protection looked good. Those were the two areas that were the net negatives or what we thought were bad news for Dillon. And he was able to do that. And the fact that he was the bigger, stronger back and made Derrick Henry look obsolete, in a primetime matchup such as that one, that's a good news type of deal. I actually think that a guy like Dare Gumbawale, here we are at the Madison office, but a Wisconsin Badger, Dare Gumbawale, who stepped in with James Robinson out with the ankle injury, might be the top pickup this week if you do need to start a running back. He had 14 carries for 71 yards, also caught three passes for minimal yards. Yes, Mike Glennon is the starting quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and yes, they are playing the Colts defense to end the season. But if you're getting 16 to 18 touches, I think you almost have to be by default the number one pickup, right?
Yeah. You know, you can make a case for that, but I will take a guy who's possibly going to get that much on a slightly better team. Well, I guess we don't know week 17. I'm going to head over to Malcolm Brown at 19% rostered.
Okay. Yeah.
We've got both Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson tending to high ankle sprains this week here. Now, the quarterback situation, I know we kind of started with running backs instead of quarterbacks. We're going to have John Wolford stepping in for Jared Goff. Jared Goff had thumb surgery. This is what I believe is a must-win game for the Rams playoff seeding, so the Rams are going to have to play. How that's going to affect the running game, I don't know, but you know, John Wolford, is he really any worse than Mike Glennon, you know, in this situation here? So we'll throw that out there and take Malcolm Brown. Malcolm Brown, I would rank, maybe as the – I mean, did we agree A.J. Dillon's the number one pickup, or did we just want to have a little
– I would rather have Malcolm Brown. I don't think Dillon plays that much of a factor next week against the Bears so long as Williams is healthy. And even if Williams misses time – I think you're putting Aaron Jones out there as much as you can to put away your division rival, make sure they don't make the playoffs, and clinch the number one seed. There is a lot on the line for the Packers, and I don't think you want to chance it with the rookie, despite how great he played.
Could a heroic Mitch Trubisky game actually pay more dividends down the road if you're a Packer fan?
Well, I was thinking about that, too.
Trubisky goes out there, just balls out, has five touchdowns, and takes him to the playoffs? You know, we can crush him in the playoffs the next week, but you know, maybe that pays more dividends as a Packer fan.
I thought about that
as
well. If Trubisky gets the Bears to the playoffs, does that mean he is guaranteed another year? And if he is guaranteed another year, does that help out Packers fans? And to me, it's like, yes, give me every bit of Trubisky you possibly can.
Yeah.
I just don't see it happening.
No one will ever be as great as Jay Cutler, but
no.
you know, I
can't beat that. I mean, he was the third best quarterback in the Packers history, it feels like. Starr and Jay Cutler are competing for that role.
All right, so the guys that we know are starters then, to get back on track, Malcolm Brown, Dare Gumbawale, I got you. Then A.J. Dillon gets in there. Now, Samaje Perine, he has got to compete with Gio Bernard a little bit, but, I mean, 13 carries for 95 yards and two touchdowns this week. Tough, tough matchup against the Ravens in Week 17, so that's the only question mark. But that Bengals attack looked pretty solid against the Texans.
It's the Texans defense, though, and the Texans defense has now surpassed the Raiders defense in terms of, this is a sieve. Wow, watch all this stuff go through it. I know J.J. Watt gave that inspirational speech, but the fact of the matter is you let Brandon Allen throw for almost 400 yards against you. Samaje Perine went off. No, I think Samaje Perine, I'm not even playing him if I really do need it. Like, I think we talk about Dillon, Malcolm Brown, Dare Gumbawale. I'd even consider Darrell Williams, who we'll get to in just a second as well, if Le'Veon Bell is kind of not doing his thing. It's a concern for me because the Ravens defense, they are, of course, playing for something for playoff hopes. And I don't think the Bengals can be all that effective with Brandon Allen once again.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I'll throw that out there here. But Darrell Williams, though, you brought up an interesting point. Everyone thought it was going to be Le'Veon Bell, but what we really saw was, you know, perhaps more of a split there in Kansas City. I'm looking, of course, getting to the hidden stat line column, which is the key to all of our backfield breakdown. Darrell Williams actually had 70% of the snap share to 30% for Le'Veon Bell, which jumps out quite a bit. 10 carries to 7 carries, and of course the place where you think Le'Veon Bell might be more effective in the passing game, Williams had 6 targets compared to only 3 for Le'Veon Bell. So twice the target share, almost 3 times the number of routes run. I mean, Darrell Williams is this guy when Edwards-Helaire is down.
Well, and here's the factor that we also have to consider. Is Le'Veon Bell the technical starter, and I put it in quotes, with Le'Veon Bell, or is Le'Veon Bell the starter? Because the Chiefs are more than likely going to be benching their starters. They have already clinched the number one seed in the AFC. Mahomes and company are going to be out. Now, does that affect the Chiefs' offense? Yes, it should, but I still think they can move the ball well enough. And if you say Darrell Williams is the Chiefs' running back, gets 20 to 25 touches, that immediately vaults him up to number one contention. But we don't quite know. Based off of Andy Reid's history with the Eagles, He has previously benched most of his starters when he is in this position. So we're assuming that's going to be the case with the Chiefs, but it has not been confirmed yet.
Yeah, it's a real tricky situation there. So, you know, like a lot of these, you're going to have to follow the practice reports and any other reports that you get from RotoWire throughout the week. But, you know, if this were a situation like, you know, if last week was week 10 and we were heading into week 11, we'd be Darrell Williams, you know, go get him because he played 20 of 24 snaps on the last four drives of the games. And Le'Veon Bell didn't play, you know, over the whole last 25 minutes of the game. So, you know, we have a guy there. It's just going to depend on how Andy Reid shakes things out. And, you know, maybe that makes it a situation to avoid unless you get something more concrete there.
Another one that kind of sprung up due to injury, Keyshawn Vaughn, finally. Keyshawn Vaughn managers at the beginning of the year are just doing circles in their last place teams.
Taking my best ball leagues from 11th place to 10th place.
Yes. Ronald Jones out, got 15 carries for the Bucs. Now, part of that was game script likely because the Buccaneers are up by 40 in the second half. To start the second half, Tom Brady already wasn't playing. I mean, like, there is that factor. I think Keyshawn Vaughn probably ends up being the guy over Leonard Fournette, who really has been bad. I mean, he has been a bad starting running back for the Buccaneers. He's done some things well, but he has struggled in that role. And with Ronald Jones out, I could see Vaughn getting more opportunities. Now, the Bucs also have things to play for, and we don't quite know if Ronald Jones will come off the COVID-19 list. He also had that surgery to his finger, which complicated matters and made him miss the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of moving pieces with Keyshawn Vaughn, but I like Keyshawn Vaughn more than Asmaje Perine, who obviously went off. I might even like him more than A.J. Dillon as well, provided Jamal Williams is playing.
Yeah. I mean, the way that this looks, I mean, Fournette got the start, played, you know, Jerry says 84% of the snaps in the first quarter, and then played 6 of 24 snaps in the second quarter, and only 3 snaps after halftime. So it looks like we have, you know, Vaughn kind of taking this job, 15 carries to 9 carries. You know, Fournette had a few more targets, a few more routes, but, you know, if that pattern continues, you know, then we might have something here, and I think he could bump up the list. I would be willing to bet he'll get picked up in our 14-team stake league this week.
And then Gus Edwards, who, I mean, for most people was probably rostered already. I've played in most leagues where he was picked up. But J.K. Dobbins left the game, did come back. Gus Edwards has been super productive, even splitting time with Dobbins. I like it's fine. Like, definitely play Gus Edwards. I like Gus Edwards more than Malcolm Brown, even with Akers and Henderson out. I just don't know if Gus Edwards is actually available.
Yeah, that Cincinnati matchup, you know, Gus Edwards, I think I pegged him at about 40% rostered, and that Cincinnati matchup is super juicy for opposing running backs. So I would agree, you know, if Gus Edwards is floating around out there and you do need a back, you know, the Bengals are 22nd in terms of, you know, allowing 19.4 fantasy points per game to opposing running backs in standard format. Yeah, I had to throw him on there because he didn't quite meet our 50% threshold.
All right, ranking these running backs, it's Gus Edwards if he's available, then Malcolm Brown, Dare Gumbawale, maybe even Darrell Williams and Keyshawn Vaughn, then Perine, Dillon for me, but I know you have Dillon a little bit higher.
I'd ranking. Put Dillon ahead of Perine, I guess. I don't know, just because I don't think we envision the same Aaron Jones heavy usage thing here. You know, they'll give him a good chunk of snaps, but I think the playoffs are more important than week 17, even with the home field on the line. It's like, you know, the Packers, there's that mystique at Lambeau Field, you know, where they want to be playing in the snow and make it a hard place to come. But is it better, almost better for the offense to, you know, go somewhere with a little bit more favorable conditions? There's no home field advantage this year in the playoffs. It doesn't really matter that much, right? If there's not going to be a crowd, or even if some of these places at a quarter capacity, there's not really a crowd, you know, it doesn't matter where you play. You know, Rodgers can dictate the offense, and this applies to anyone. You know, any of these brilliant quarterbacks like Mahomes, you know, home field advantage does not matter as much as it should this year. So,
but I would argue because home field doesn't matter as much this year, having a place that will likely have weather conditions affect the game, regardless if it is snowing or if it just is cold, is more consequential than the Superdome, right, with the Saints, or going to Raymond Field, whatever it is for the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. It's a little bit warm there, but it's not going to be too warm. Like, every other place feels like a pretty even field. Lambeau Field, regardless of the crowd, but Lambeau Field, the weather, everything else that comes with that, I feel like does have more of an advantage because there is such little advantage over us.
I would again counter that on a team where offense is your strength, you know, you would want less interference from the weather. But
yeah, no. It's all about turnovers. It's all about turnovers for the last years, however long Mike Pettine's been around. Mm-hmm. That's what the Packers defense is.
Gotcha.
So move over to quarterbacks because we did kind of jump that. But, I mean, running backs were pretty consequential.
Yeah.
There's a few injuries and benchings possibly that you have to note. First, starting with Kyler Murray, who is going to be going against the Rams and has a lower leg injury as well. It's unclear if he actually is going to play in this game. It's possible that this Cardinals-Rams game that could decide one of the final playoff spots has two backup quarterbacks. We know the other one, with the Rams' perspective, is already going to have John Wolford start, which you mentioned, because Jared Goff had thumb surgery. Mm-hmm. So there are potentially multiple quarterbacks, whether it be Kyler Murray, maybe even Russ Wilson against the Niners, that you would have to consider benching if that's the case. And then you had Tua, who was benched during the second half of the other game with the Dolphins. Dolphins need to win this game, too. I used Tua because he was going against the Raiders, which are supposed to be horrible, and that came back to bite me as well. So, like, there's a lot of moving pieces at quarterback, too.
Yeah, there are a lot of fantasy implications to just the Murray situation alone here because, number one, you know, before I even got wind of the injury, I'm thinking, man, is he a quarterback you consider benching against the Rams? Like, I went against Mario in the Dynasty playoffs, you know, this week, and he benched Kyler Murray to start Jalen Hurts. And I looked at that, and I was like, oh, that's kind of a funny decision. He turned out to be right, of course, but Murray is someone that, given this crazy tough matchup, you know, it's tough sledding against the Rams anyway. Then you take into the fact that maybe he's not 100%. He becomes someone that you maybe start to look for streamers for. And I wrote Russ down as well because, you know, when you're heading into 17, you got 1 week left. You know, we can talk about all these quarterbacks with good streaming matchups, but the first thing is, who are you actually benching?
Yes.
What quarterback could have gotten you all the way here that now you have to think about, okay, maybe you would bench. So, you know, Murray was one of them that hit the list because of the matchup. Russ hit the list because he's been in the freezer. He hasn't been cooking so much lately. And going up against the 49ers, I know they've had their fair share of injuries, but they've been a pretty strong defense for the most part there. Those are guys that you would consider. And then in their place, you know, you run down the streaming list. Rivers, 40% owned against the Jaguars.
Love that.
They need to be they need to win this game. The Colts need to win this game. It's full throttle. I think he's Payne's top pick on our column this week, and I can see very much why he would be a solid streamer this week. Derek Carr's 39% rostered at Denver. That's not too bad. I even wrote Daniel Jones 24% against the Cowboys. That might be a little bit of a stretch, but you know, those are situations that you might want to think about. You know, you have a tough time actually making the move to bench Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray in your week 17, especially if it's your championship. We have a couple, you know, leagues that I think our Vegas league, you know, is like a four parter, right? And I think it might play all the way to the end. Of course, I got knocked out of that, but it might play all the way to the end, and it's combining divisions, and in that case goes to week 17. So you never know. There are situations where, you know, you think about making a move like that, but there's that, and then there's a ton of two quarterback news this week. You know, we hit the Rams, we hit the Cardinals here. Deshaun Watson says he's going to play, but geez, did he get his hand snapped back in that helmet and it looked ugly. He says he'll play, but if not, it's AJ McCarron time. Pretty favorable. He gets the Titans there, so whoever suits up there is someone to think about. And then, of course, you have to look at the Washington football team after the release of Dwayne Haskins. Alex Smith kind of has that calf injury. He's likely to be available against the Eagles Sunday night, prime time. Fun stuff. Otherwise, if he doesn't, Taylor Heineke. So for your two quarterback leagues, there's something.
I'm so annoyed that's a Sunday night game.
Yeah, I thought the Packers were going to get flexed to that too, but you know.
I don't want to watch the NFC East.
NBC
please.
Just loves the NFC East though so much. I don't know. And the Cowboys aren't even playing.
I get it then,
but you know. Anyway, that's the rundown of the quarterback list for this week. You know, figured it's best to hit this in quick hitters because there's not many guys you're actually benching. You know, there aren't a ton of red flags across the top scorers. So, you know, go for it. But again, if it's a tough matchup, or if, like you said, you know, maybe the Chiefs, maybe Mahomes doesn't play the whole game and you got to think about an alternative.
How could you have the Rams and Cardinals competing for a playoff spot? I know they're now down to their backup quarterbacks likely. But why would you look at that NFC game and see nobody over 500 record? Maybe best case scenario, they win one playoff game. You're like, yep, got to put that on primetime. That's how you should end 2020 with an NFC East primetime game.
It would only be fitting. It would be more fitting if it was on like a Wednesday night or something.
Yes, to end the season. All right, let's move over to wide receivers. I think we covered quarterbacks pretty well. DeSean Jackson had a big play, 81-yard touchdown for Jalen Hurts. Of course, the Eagles lost, now are out of playoff contention. It'll be interesting to see how well they compete in a revenge game for DeSean Jackson. I'm not like completely sold on it, but what do you think, Jake?
I don't know. At 9% rostered, you know, there are situations when you look at your team and you look at your opponent and you think, you know, depending on your format, you know, maybe you don't take too much status weight on the projections there. But then, you know, there are situations where, man, this opponent has got a killer team and they're projected to stomp you by 40 points. Maybe I need a big play guy and instead of like a Cole Beasley, you know, a reception guy. You know, we always joke about the Cole Beasley line for the waiver wire. Instead of, you know, Cole Beasley's safe three catches, maybe I need a guy that can get 180-yard touchdown. And that's where you look at Jackson. That's why he's on the list.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's a tough one, especially when you have guys like maybe Zach Pascal who become incredibly relevant again. I think Philip Rivers is one of the better pickups against Jacksonville this week. If Pittman's out, he had a concussion, and it was confirmed that he had a concussion. Pascal, I mean, I am interested in that situation as, again, the Colts need to compete, need to win this game to be playoff eligible. I think Pascal makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, I mean, Michael Pittman has the confirmed concussion here, and it's the Jacksonville Jaguars who, you know, they've already got the Lawrence sweepstakes locked up, so maybe they'll play for some pride or something like that. But the Colts are the better team, and they need to win. And, you know, T.Y. Hilton's been more involved of late, but it looks like Pascal's the clear number two here, and he becomes, you know, there are targets that are opened up for him. Now, you could argue maybe a lot of those will go to Nyheim Hines and the tight ends because that has happened in the past. You know, when Pittman was hurt, Pascal wasn't necessarily the guy. But depending on how deep you are, that's an option to consider.
Yeah, and Scary Terry sunk my stake league team, one of many guys that completely let me down. But as a result, Steven Sims and Cam Sims, yes, that is as confusing as it seems, kind of became the two wide receivers other than Logan Thomas. Logan Thomas was consistent, but it's going to be Heinicke likely as their starter if Alex Smith is unable to go. I think I like Steven Sims more out of that, and it's only because Mario likes Steven Sims more than Cam Sims. But even still, it's a tough situation when you're looking at the Washington pass, like Washington quarterbacks and the healthy pass catchers for that team.
Yeah, I mean, the stat that jumps out at me is 9 targets for Cam Sims as opposed to 6 targets for Steven Sims. But I didn't get the full exact breakdown of which of those came from Haskins, which of those came from Heinicke. And if Alex Smith is the quarterback, he's going to look for J.D. McKissic and Logan Thomas, and that's about it. So the target distribution from Week 16 shouldn't bear a ton of weight on your decision for what to do Week 17. I'm just kind of laying out there, here are the guys, if you really want to get frisky with it and maybe try to sneak something up, but you know you don't feel great about them. It's a bad week for wide receiver ads.
Yeah, Mario has been batting 1,000 for about 5 years now, so I'll defer to him on Steven Sims. I think it's more of a talent-based thing as opposed to the role in their offense, because obviously Cam Sims has been the more featured player. It's just that Steven Sims is more talented. Either way, it's a tough sell for me. I think in a full-point PPR league, if you really need a floor, one of those guys probably gives it to you, much in the same way McKissic does, but you're not excited to start McKissic, and you shouldn't be excited to start this. You shouldn't be excited to start the Sims.
Maybe a little excited to start McKissic if it's PPR.
Okay, sure.
I don't know.
But
I've used him to, you know, he's burned me a couple times, but I've also used him to some success in a couple of spots, including this past week.
You can live in that basement that you want to have with your J.D. McKissic fanboy. That's fine with me.
I mean, there's a meme out there where it's got, like, Breeze and Kamara, ooh, but then like right underneath, it's got Smith and McKissic. Check down, check down, check down. That's what I picture in my head.
The other wide receiver to mention, Michael Gallup, finally had his Michael Gallup day. Andy Dalton, I don't know why I decided to defer to him this go-round, but 6 catches, 122 yards, 2 touchdowns, and both of those were red zone targets too. I mean, that was the bigger deal. You're watching the red zone, like, oh, Michael Gallup scored. That was a good catch. Oh, he scored again. Like, a decent day for him. He's probably in that
CeeDee Lamb had a nice day, too.
I was going to say, Gallup's probably in that threshold, though, where he's probably rostered and probably rostered by teams that have not participated at all in the waiver wire, and therefore you can't grab him, though.
Yeah, that's the most likely case. I think he barely made the threshold, but that stat line jumps out, and I'd rather start a name and a pedigree like Michael Gallup than if I'm looking at maybe Zach Pascal or Sam Sims, I guess.
Okay. Moving on to tight end, Irv Smith has been awesome with Kyle Rudolph out. That is no surprise to anyone. We just need to know if Kyle Rudolph is out again this week, because the Vikings have the Lions on schedule. And of course, the Vikings are still competing for the playoffs as well. So that's an interesting one. The Chargers had Steven Anderson, Donald Parham, a few targets with Hunter Henry out on the COVID list. It was possible Henry could have returned for this past week, so I could see the Chargers maybe trying to have Henry out there, especially in his franchise year. He got franchise tagged.
Okay.
I could see them trying to play Henry for this one, but I don't know. It's not.
Hunter Henry was my Dynasty League championship tight end this year. I don't think a lot of people can say that. It was Hunter Henry, Noah Fant, and I got Dalton Keene coming up the pipeline. Watch out for your dynasty.
Okay, so yeah, Steven Anderson, Donald Parham. Parham has been the red zone threat. They will do some plays specifically for him because he's 6'8", but he isn't all that good. So
yeah,
just – I mean, like, again, Irv Smith is great. I think that's a good pickup, but there is nothing for tight end otherwise, and that's how the season really has been all
Payne, year. Payne also mentions Jimmy Graham in his column. And
two touchdowns.
Yeah. Again, maybe he's part of – Trubisky's heroic re-signing effort, you know, or something like that. I don't know. But again, a touchdown dependent guy. I mean, that's what you're looking at in the landscape of tight end here. Hopefully you got Waller or, I mean, Kelsey can't even do it for you this week, right?
More than likely, no. You will have to depend on Logan Thomas.
Unless are they going to record chase? Does he already have the,
he has the record.
Most tight ends?
Yes. Yeah.
What if he leads the league, though? Has that ever been done? Has a tight end ever done that?
I'm sure like in the 60s, mm-hmm. some tight end did that.
Yeah, probably. I mean, if there's, I should have looked more into, is there a record chasing narrative with Kelsey? There's a lot of moving parts here. I mean, the situation, whatever we describe, could easily change by Sunday here. We're doing this on Tuesday.
We have to wait for Andy Reid to make any sort of proclamation, but I can almost assure you Patrick Mahomes is not playing a full game with the Chiefs already locking up. And if Mahomes isn't playing, then is Kelsey Hill was banged up too? Like
Hill already kind of had a hamstring, right. So yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, maybe,
I don't think he plays.
Maybe it's Mecole Hardman City in week 17.
Yeah, there you go.
For your DFS lineups.
I was going to say best ball team.
Yeah, for all my dead best ball lineups. Yeah. You know, if Keyshawn Vaughn bought him up from 11 to 10, then Mecole Hardman will definitely get him from 10 to 9.
All right, there you go. One last time, a word from our sponsors, BetMGM. Sports bettors know that magic happens when you turn a hunch into action and apply the right amount of expertise. That's why BetMGM has teamed up with RotoWire to offer new BetMGM customers a free 6-month RotoWire subscription when they place their first bet. Register on the BetMGM app or website and use promo code ROTO, that's R-O-T-O, to claim your free subscription. Once you make your first sports wager, you'll receive a season's length of RotoWire's unmatched sports insight. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sports books by signing up and placing your first bet today. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditioning. If you're 21 years or older to wager, Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia only, please make sure to gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 1-800-889-9789. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. This promotional code is not available in Nevada. All right, so we talked about the free agent pickups before. Let's go over to our waiver wire guys now, the ones who are going to be winning the awards, who have won leagues, hopefully, for a lot of people, and who might be able to make us look better on the podcast that we talk about each and every week. We have quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. Do you want to drum roll it mentally and go ahead and get into the quarterbacks?
Yeah, we need a guy with sound effects here. Our production team, you know, it's just the two of us. That's Joe. That's Joe on GarageBand. No, the quarterback award has got to be Justin Herbert, right? The eventual Rookie of the Year. Although Justin Jefferson made a slight charge towards him in Rookie of the Year, we'll see what happens there. Herbert's the guy. I mean, he was somebody that if you picked him up early, he was a steady, consistent scorer for you, and probably led you to good things. I mean, he's the perfect reason why you don't put premium draft stock in a quarterback in fantasy football drafts. You pick up a guy like him week two or three to replace your Matt Ryan or Jared Goff or whatever you had there, and then suddenly he's your starter the rest of the way out, and you pay next to nothing for him. Herbert, man, the Chargers made a good move with this draft pick, and so did fantasy owners who rostered him. I know that ESPN...
You said they made a good move by stabbing Tyrod Taylor. I was like, wait a minute, this guy wild. Wait, okay.
Well, I wasn't going that way. That was your brain. But no, ESPN, I don't have it in front of me, but they always put out their percentage of playoff teams that have X player. Mm-hmm. Herbert was way up there because he saved a lot of people's quarterback situation. Though I did want to give an honorable mention to Jalen Hurts because of his his couple of solid games during playoff time, helping a lot of fantasy players out when it mattered most.
Yeah, the Jalen Hurts one hurts, no pun intended, because Liss has him right now on our stake league team, and my team needs a lot of things at the moment, but desperately has needed tight end or needed quarterback, I should say, for a while. Mm-hmm. And yet here Hurts is trying to help out Liss not be a double buyer, and I could have used Hurts to win a championship. So I feel like he's being wasted a little bit on Liss's team, which is frustrating to me, but it's fine. I'll just keep rolling with Dwayne Haskins and Teddy Bridgewater, who are my two quarterbacks on the roster right now. That's how – I don't know what quarterbacks you have on your side of things, but that was the best option, was Dwayne Haskins.
I beat Mario in Dynasty this week. I chose the wrong one. I chose Teddy Bridgewater over Sam Darnold. That's what I was working with. I put 20% of my fab down on Marcus Mariota on the off chance he would play because that was the situation. I also spent like 60% of my fab money on Jameis Winston at one point. Once Dak Prescott got hurt, that was just the entire mess. So I did win one championship with Teddy Bridgewater as my starter this past week somehow.
Herbert helped me win. It takes second place in an NFFC auction draft that we did towards the end of the year. So I'm forever grateful for Justin Herbert. Moving over to the running backs, though, it's funny because we probably were in a lot of leagues where James Robinson was not available because there was deeper leagues and kind of towards the end of the season, we were aware of James Robinson as the starter, and Mario was in on this from the get-go to the point where I had drafted him in a few spots. Like, that's one of my last picks.
But I mean, a lot of leagues, if you drafted in the first, second, third week of August even, you know, he wasn't taken.
No.
And if you had Christian McCaffrey or Saquon Barkley this year, guys that you pretty much got nothing from, you know, for the entire of the year, Saquon Barkley getting hurt even earlier, James Robinson saved your season.
Yep.
He saved your entire season. He was someone, I think I picked him up in one spot and, you know, just started him. He became a must start in any format, you know, even if it's a 10-team league, for the entirety of the rest of the way out. He was consistent. He had big games, and he actually looks like a building block around what Jacksonville wants to do here with Trevor Lawrence and company. So he definitely gets the top running back pickup of the year award here.
Absolutely. I think so too. It was just funny because I agree with you that he does deserve the award. I just was never in any leagues that could get him because we were either drafting later with other really super smart guys that had already sniffed it out. So yeah, James Robinson, Justin Herbert, your quarterback, running back, waiver wire of the year award winners. I think if we're playing this like normal fantasy football, there's a running back too. And if that's the case, doesn't it by default have to be Mike Davis? I mean, for a good stretch of the season, for 3 to 4 weeks, he was a top seven overall guy in PPR leagues, or top seven running back, I should say, in PPR leagues. Yes, he fell down a little bit on that ladder with Curtis Samuel emerging. Yes,
and then he kind of came back.
Yeah. I mean, like, there was a real ebb and flow to Mike Davis's game, but he feels like the number two overall running back of waiver wire pickups this year.
Yeah, if you were putting together a team, you know, if you could backtrack to the beginning of the year, maybe you were playing a vampire league or something, and you had I'm just trying to envision a scenario where you make your all-star team, a team with James Robinson and Mike Davis as RB1 and 2 throughout the year was probably pretty successful. So I would agree with that. Plays the whole Panthers situation will have an interesting role in our mock draft here towards the end of the show. I also threw some other honorable mentions on here. Wayne Gallman and Gio Bernard helped me in stake league charge when I lost Nick Chubb and was deep, deep low. And now I'm kind of making a charge back to that final eater spot. Miles Gaskin, if you could get him.
I think Gaskin is like, you could have replaced Davis with Gaskin, and I think either one would be fine. Gaskin was incredible, but he missed that 3-week stretch or 2-week stretch around there, which was pretty costly. Yeah.
Well, and then the tough part was he came back here for week 16, but you didn't know what was going to happen between Gaskin and Ahmed playing so well. You had no idea Gaskin was going to get 30 fantasy points, so that happened on most people's benches.
Yeah, so like that's, I think you could go interchangeable with Davis and Gaskin on that. Gallman helped me in Stake League 2. Gio Bernard helped me in a few other leagues as well. My best ball team really loves Giovanni Bernard, especially when Chubb was down. So that's been fine. And then you did have the 1 week of Tony Pollard, which was a glorious week that made everyone frustrated with Zeke.
Yeah, I mean, it was a 30-point effort in the fantasy playoffs. Oh, we'll go ahead and mention his name for that.
I think the top waiver wire pickup just overall, though, has to be Justin Jefferson as we move over to the wide receivers. Now, especially me, was drafting Justin Jefferson everywhere. So he was never available in wires either. But there was that point in like week two or week three. If you go back and listen to the podcast, I was about ready to drop. I was like, I'm 1 week away from Mike Zimmer just torturing my poor boy Justin Jefferson, and he's gone. And I imagine I was like one of the last holdouts in that because he was available just about every league in weeks two and three when the Zimmer decided, oh yeah, we can't play our rookies. Since then, he has become, I believe, the Rookie of the Year winner in the real NFL. I know Herbert will win because we have to give quarterbacks every award. But Justin Jefferson has been a game changer and has been a literal mainstay in fantasy lineups the entire season.
Yep, he is the only reason that I'm even in this stake league conversation. He's been an absolute stud. He has helped me make up for my Mecole Hardman transgressions in many occasions. Blew half of my fab budget on him around week four, and he's just been a double-digit point scorer ever since. With some huge weeks, helped me win a Kirk Cousins-related Culver's prop bet. I just, hats off to Justin Jefferson this year. That's the most credit you'll ever hear me give a Vikings player. I mean, he at least makes the Vikings trading away Stephon Diggs and the amazing season that Stephon Diggs is having right now. I mean, he at least makes that move look somewhat okay because they have got themselves a strong replacement. And they still have one of the better 1-2 receiver duos in the league with Jefferson and Thielen.
Yeah. I think the other one has to be Robbie Anderson, who was probably drafted in some leagues if you were like doing an auto draft thing. But for most people, you're thinking DJ Moore is going to be an incredible asset. You have Christian McCaffrey doing things. Maybe Ian Thomas will be a factor at tight end for the Panthers. Mm-hmm. Well, it was Robbie Anderson that ended up being the number one guy for the Panthers and was probably available in leagues in weeks one and two. But by that point, yep, it was pretty clear where he was going to be featured in the Panthers and picked mm-hmm. up everywhere.
Yeah, after a couple of 100-yard games, it was no Moss, and then he became one of the most consistently producing receivers. Again, you know, he had his bumps towards the end when, you know, Curtis Samuel started getting more involved, but Robbie Anderson way outplayed DJ Moore. DJ Moore cost you like $30 on draft day. Robbie Anderson cost you $1 or $0 on draft day. So, you know, hats off to him for, you know, some of the great stories out there and, of course, an excellent fantasy season.
So your starting roster for the waiver wire awards is Justin Herbert at quarterback, James Robinson, Mike Davis, or Miles Gaskin interchangeable at that second running back spot. Mm-hmm. Justin Jefferson, Robbie Anderson is your two wide receivers. If you were playing a three wide receiver league and giving out awards, I think Chase Claypool at times was that guy. Mm-hmm. And then at other times, it was T. Higgins. If you could combine the production of Higgins and Claypool on each and every week, yep, you probably have a great number three free agent wide receiver.
Yeah, the more I think about it, I want to give this spot to T. Higgins because once he emerged, you know, of course, hit a little rough patch after the Burrow injury. But a couple of reasons for Higgins. One, with Claypool, his four touchdown game was what made people pay attention to him. Nobody, you know, maybe 0.2% of 400,000 entries on a DFS site might have used Claypool in his four touchdown game. So, you know, when you got almost half of his production coming from that huge week, yeah, he had a few good weeks afterwards when, you know, the rest of the receiving core was banged up. But Higgins was a little more consistent, and he was strong in the fantasy playoffs, particularly the fantasy championship. So I'll give him the wide receiver three this year.
Moving over to tight end, Robert Tonyan, you didn't win the Pro Bowl because we must make sure the NFC East is catered to at all times, but you did win our waiver wire free agent pickup award because you were one of the top tight ends available mm-hmm. in a year that really needed tight ends to be more available on the waiver wire.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we always rag on the tight end position every single year, but this year was as good of an argument as any to make your last your tight end spot a wide receiver slash tight end flex spot.
Yes,
because it was brutal. I mean, outside of Kelce and Waller, you know, Andrews had his occasional games, but it was really Kelce and Waller and nobody else. But Bobby T snuck up into that mix, you know, with a couple big games early. He was somebody that, you know, Rodgers liked to go to quite a bit, you know, whether it be when Devonta Adams was hurt, when Alan Lazard missed his stretch after he was getting hot. He provided some consistent production, though I do want to sneak in an honorable mention for Logan Thomas, because if you used him in the back half of the season, he was very, very steady. And throughout the playoffs, he was very, very steady. And, you know, he made it possible to win a fantasy championship if you did not have Waller or Kelce.
Yeah, I was going to say Logan Thomas is our flex if we are kind of going with the traditional model of this, because Tonyan, as much as we're bagging on tight ends that are just touchdown dependent, well, if you are scoring touchdowns every week, yeah, then it kind of works. So mm-hmm. Tonyan does deserve that role, but Logan Thomas was a huge feature with the Washington offense towards the end mm-hmm. of the season, especially in PPR yep. leagues, and was a critical factor if you missed a George Kittle like I did. I'm raising
absolutely
hands, you know. So that is our group: Justin Herbert, James Robinson, Mike Davis, Miles Gaskin, Justin Jefferson, Robbie Anderson, Tonyan, and Logan Thomas. Round out yep. your waiver wire free agent awards.
We can call it Vampire League Retrospect. I didn't play any Vampire Leagues, but it's where you, I believe the most common format is where you have to make a team off entirely the waiver wire undrafted players, and if you beat any team that you run into during the schedule, you get to swap one of your players yes. with one of theirs,
yeah.
and that's slowly how you manage there throughout the team, throughout the year. So otherwise, everything else is the same. But yeah, Vampire League Retrospect, waiver wire awards, guys that were not drafted, that were potential game changers and championship winners for your league.
All right. Well, this is probably the part that everyone's most excited for, or imaginably skipping to as you're listening to the podcast. We're going to enter into our 2021 first round mock draft. We are doing this live right now. Neither of us have written down anything. We have our own cheat sheets at the moment, but this is going to be a live draft. And I guess since I'm in a giving spirit, it's my birthday, I will let you go ahead, Jake, and have the number one overall pick. This is going to be a 12-team league. We're just doing the first round. We're going back and forth on a half-point PPR. Your traditional settings, I guess, don't really matter. 12-team, mm-hmm. half-point PPR. Jake will start first. I'll go next. We'll go back and forth and fill out each of the 12 teams for the first round.
Yeah, so this is a situation where, you know, I'm going to try to put recency bias aside of some of the players that have performed really well for me and some of the players that have carried owners to fantasy championship this year. I think going back, you know, you're talking to me right now on December 29th, 2020, you know, for a August 2021 draft. I think the number one pick for me is going to be Christian McCaffrey. I'm going to go back to that well for a couple of reasons. One, you know the system's going to be very favorable. Matt Rhule has set up a system that features the running backs heavily involved, especially as pass catchers. You saw that with Samuel. You saw that with Davis once McCaffrey went down. So, you know, you have some confidence in him coming into the same system. And two, he pretty much got a year off. You know, he had three games at the start of the year, carried the ball 59 times for 225 yards, 5 touchdowns. You know, nothing too crazy. Very productive in that time. And he gets the year off, which is perfect for, you know, a running back. 24, hardly is hitting his athletic prime. He's about to hit his athletic prime with, you know, ideally a full offseason to get healthy and be back on track here. So for me, I'm still rolling Christian McCaffrey as the number one overall pick.
You had talked off air on how this was going to be controversial. I don't really think it is too much. Now, there is some concern, much like in the way that we got worried about David Johnson like 2 years ago, and it's proven that he's just injury concerns off the wazoo and you just can't rely on him. I think this should be troubling. Like, it's not an automatic lock that McCaffrey's back there again. In a full point PPR setting, I completely understand. In a half point PPR setting, you have him number one. I think I'd have him number two behind my guy, who I'll talk about in just a second here. But in a standard scoring, I think he is now – he's bumped down. Like, I think you can go with Derrick Henry or a different wide receiver in a standard scoring setting. But when it comes to the receptions, I still think McCaffrey is going to be a focal point. And you're right. The fact that he missed this year and, for the most part, didn't take many body shots, anything like that, that helps matters. Yeah.
Didn't – he had a thigh injury and you know, he didn't blow his knee out. You exactly. know, he didn't have anything crazy like that.
It was an ankle injury too, right? Mm-hmm. That was a high ankle towards the end of the year, I
believe. Yeah, exactly. All things that – these guys are more than capable of recovering from if they had enough rest. They give him enough rest during the season. You know, he'd be around if they're in the playoffs. They're not in the playoffs. And then he gets a whole off season. So none of these injuries are things that I'm worried about having, you know, long, long-term effects here.
My first pick and the second overall pick in our 2021 first-round mock draft is going to be Alvin Kamara. I think this is pretty obvious if you're not taking McCaffrey, especially in a half-point or full-point PPR setting. Kamara makes a lot of sense with what he was able to do with the Saints' offense right now, and I think regardless of where Drew Brees goes, if he retires, if he stays one more year at the Saints, it doesn't matter. We saw that scheme, for the most part, be worked towards Kamara. Now, Taysom Hill, if he is the guy—
That's the real big question,
there
Mark.
Is a bit of a concern, but I'm assuming they watched Taysom Hill be starting quarterback and said, yeah, no, we're going to figure it out afterwards. Mm-hmm. So Kamara is my number two guy, and I think he is one of the best talents in fantasy football, and I will bet on talent every time.
Yeah, I mean, if you forgot about McCaffrey and we're looking at 2020 stats alone, I think Kamara would be right up near the top of the list here. I don't blame you in that one at all. I think I'm hoping that if I'm, you know, drafting four or five next year, I can get him to slip because people will be scared about Taysom Hill or maybe have Taysom Hill nightmares on how he wasn't an automatic nonstop check down to Kamara. But I have confidence in the Saints getting the ball to their best player overall. Kamara is a perfectly safe number two pick. I'm really torn between two guys for the number three pick here. There are two players that are very, very worthy of this, and I'm sure the one that I say that I don't take will be going to you. But after toppling back and forth, I'm taking Derrick Henry at number three overall. He has been consistent. 15 or more games. Well, I guess he'll make it 16 this year. He's only missed one game in the last 4 years, which is huge for running backs. You know, his body type seems to be he can have some more longevity. He's the foundation of my dynasty team. He's in his age 26 season, so a couple more at least solid years should be coming here out of him. And the other part is he's at his best in the fantasy playoffs. Down the stretch, later in the season.
Except against the Packers.
Yes, except against the Packers. A matchup that should have been glorious for whatever reason. You know, sometimes things just don't make sense. But for the most part, you know, before that Packer game, you know, he was getting, you know, 21.2, 34.2. He's solid. He's steady. You know, his worst fantasy game this year was 7 points against the Browns. I guess the Bears, too. So, you know, he's never getting you goose eggs. He's always out there, and he's incredibly consistent and steady. And I see a similar system and think for him next year. And, of course, unquestioned number one back. They don't really have much in terms of backups there. Nobody's going to threaten or sniff his carries at all.
Nobody can do what King Henry does. I mean, just that offense is completely different. Ryan Tannehill runs for a 45-yard touchdown Sunday night because you have to commit to Derrick Henry every single time. It just completely changes the offense, makes bad players like Tannehill better. And I don't think a Darrington Evans or Jeremy McNichols, your backups in Tennessee, can have any sort of same effect that they do with King Henry. So, yeah, I agree with you. In a standard setting, he is number one overall, right? Like, would you take Henry over McCaffrey?
In 0 points for PPR?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could make a case for it. I think McCaffrey, you know, you think about it in terms of touches and combined the receptions and the carries combined, I think they'll exceed Henry's carries a little bit more, and Henry doesn't quite do as much, you know, of course, as a pass catcher. So it becomes really tough. I think I'd still lean McCaffrey, but I couldn't blame you for going Henry.
Okay. I think I would take Henry in standard, but at this point in a half point or full point PPR, Kamara, McCaffrey are still above him. But this is the highest Henry will probably ever be. I mean, to be honest, right? He was a late first-round pick this year because, oh, he can't catch passes, and can he really stay this healthy? It's kind of locked in. It's pretty confirmed at this point. Mm-hmm. Injuries can always happen, yes. But his role and what he is able to do as a talent on the NFL field is unquestioned. So he is number three on our 2021 first-round mock. Number four, I believe, is Dalvin Cook, which is where you would have went,
yep,
right?
It was between Henry and Cook. Yeah. And again, you couldn't go wrong with either of them. I'll let you give your little spiel on him. But what it came down to me was less missed games.
Yeah, and I think that the health factor is critical, right? If Dalvin Cook plays all 16 games, he's probably one of the leading rushers, if not the leading rusher in the NFL. The focal point that he has on the Vikings, he can catch passes. They have to run screen passes through him because they only have two guys. I don't see, especially with the amount of defense the Vikings still need, the Vikings really able to commit many resources offensively to take away from Cook's production. And they just signed him to a contract too. So to me, it's a pretty cut and dry case as a top four overall pick. Much in the same way we argued about Ezekiel Elliott in years past as he's in the big four, I think you can make a case with Dalvin Cook every single year. It's just a matter if you want to risk it with the health. He played for the most part this season. I think Dalvin Cook at this point is kind of locked in.
Exactly.
That spot.
You know, him playing his first full season, you know, gives you the ceiling and almost like buying high a little bit. But no, I mean, I agree with you. No issue with that pick whatsoever. It was Henry and Cook. And again, it was like a couple less games missed and a slightly better backup for Cook was what tipped me to Henry at number three. But really, I could change my mind on that four more times before the next year. All right, number five. I don't know if this is that controversial, but coming off a year in which the tight end position just got stomped. I mean, Travis Kelce, I've seen people take him this high this past year. There are a couple of receivers that I thought about, but I think after those top four running backs, after those big four, there's a little bit of a drop off here. So now you have to decide, okay, do I get a tier two running back? Do I take wide receiver, which has had pretty much a 50% bust rate in the first round for this, you know, for as long as I can remember, anecdotal evidence, I don't have stats, you know, whatever. Or do I take the healthiest, most consistent, best skilled tight end in terms of volume, red zone use, and just overall production across the board? I mean, he's a top 10. He'd have been a top five receiver in fantasy this year. So Travis Kelce's my pick at number five. Not going to worry about tight end, you know, trying to find your diamond in the rough tight end. Didn't work out so hot this year. And, you know, how many options did you cycle through before maybe you landed on Bobby T or Logan Thomas, if you were lucky enough to do so? Screw it. You know, my leagues were the best. The leagues I had the most success in usually were the ones I had Kelce in. So going to throw him out there at number five.
You can find running backs and wide receivers off the waiver wire, like we talked about. But when Robert Tonyan and Logan Thomas are your top two waiver wire options for the season, I get it. I think this is a little bit early for me. I mean, like, Kelce is very deserving of a first round pick, and even like in 7 or 8, but we still have to take Davante Adams before him, especially after this year. Davante Adams is my number pick, or my number six pick here. And I don't see Rodgers, like, when you're planning the Jordan Love trajectory, it's not this year where Rodgers going off, and it wasn't next year in 2021. It was the year after contract-wise, which makes sense. And when that happens, if Rodgers were to leave the Packers, all bets are off on Davante Adams. That's not going to occur next year based off the contract stuff. So if that's the case, it's still the number one guy in an offense that hopefully adds more wide receivers. But, man, we don't know what the Packers are going to do. I think Davante Adams is going to be very clearly locked into that spot. And while Michael Thomas is always safe in a full-point PPR league, injuries can happen. What happens when you have a Michael Thomas who also catches 12 touchdowns a year? There's Davante Adams.
Yeah, I'm just realizing that I maybe left Michael Thomas off my list coming back from injury. There's
don't
a lot
worry,
of variables there.
Mind.
Okay, all right, good. Yeah, I don't think so, but maybe. Okay, so 100% agree with you on Davante Adams. I don't have an issue with that. I actually had Davante Adams number six on my list.
Okay.
He would have been next up for me. Again, so that 5-6 range is where you really have to make the decision. Ultimately, it came to I would I would bet that Davante Adams, who, you know, is going to break all sorts of franchise records in 13 and a half games played, is going to be the number one ranked receiver next year. I don't doubt that at all, but it was just a matter of, you know, positional scarcity, really, for me. And normally you don't mess with that in the first round, but when the amount of points Kelce scored was the way it was, and at that position, I love it. After Davante Adams, though, I'm going down to another wide receiver. I think it's Tyreek Hill time. There are a couple guys I picked between. Ultimately, Tyreek Hill is younger. I like the quarterback play a little bit better, and nobody is as fast as him. You just can't. At 26 years old, his speed's not magically going anywhere. I'm going another Chief, and I feel pretty good about it. I mean, he scores. He gets high volume. You know, maybe there's a slightly – maybe you go with one of these 100 catch guys if you're going full PPR. But in this case, I put Tyreek Hill next on my list.
Well, the biggest deal with Hill is that now he was involved in the red zone. We finally got that next iteration of the Chiefs offense, which involves so many of the jet sweeps and quick outs. And here we're going to move Hill one way and then back the other way. And then, oh, yeah, we're going to hike it. Oh, and then here's Travis Kelce getting that shovel underneath with a complete misdirection. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the
final
step.
That's another way
step.
To love Kelce. Yes. Those little shovel passes, like, they work so well, and teams haven't figured that out. And when there are so many things, you know, you could run fades to any of those guys. You can run all kinds of reverses with Hardman. You can run straight up with the running backs that you have. It's just another thing to defend, making both of those guys attractive red zone options.
I suspect most people will take Hill before Adams. So I disagree with you that Adams is the number one guy next year. I think it actually might be Hill. I just think Adams is going to have a better year and is going to be more consistent on a per-game basis. If I miss one or two games with him, that's going to be okay because I can figure it out with wide receiver. I have no concerns about his offensive role at all. I don't either with Tyreek Hill. To me, at wide receiver, it's 1A and 1B, Adams and Hill. It's this eighth spot here that I think becomes tricky because you can diverge in a lot of different spots. Here would be probably where I'd take Travis Kelce if you're available. Of course, he's gone right now. So is CMC, who's taken number one overall, Alvin Kamara number two. Derrick Henry number three, Delvin Cook number four, Kelce number five, Adams six, Hill seven. At number eight, I think I'm going to be going with Austin Eckler. And I know that's a kind of interesting dilemma, and especially in a half-point PPR setting, you wouldn't envision that to be the case. Eckler missed some time due to injury. This was more of a fluky injury than anything else. Previously, he was completely fine. And I think the Chargers are going to involve him more as the number one back. They still do that stupid stuff with Joshua Kelly and Justin Jackson and everything else. That's going to happen. But I'm actually anticipating a change from Anthony Lynn and Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator, helps Austin Eckler, helps Justin Herbert, and drafting some offensive line help only makes a difference. I'm taking Eckler number eight overall.
All right, that's interesting. I almost disregarded Eckler because of the situation this season. I actually had one, two, three, four other running backs on the list before him. So the only knock on that pick was maybe I'd wait for him coming back. Okay. We'll see if that happens. Fair. We'll see if that happens if you're at the turn.
I'll let you do it.
But no, who I had ranked number eighth overall on my list and who I'm taking here, Nick Chubb. I love Nick Chubb, what he can do. Yes, he is in somewhat of a timeshare with Kareem Hunt. And yes, that does take away from his touches a little bit, but he is the best up and down runner. I think the Browns are a team on the rise that is going to see plenty of more positive game script. And every time, you know, I watch Chubb closely, I was a believer out of college. He's past the big injuries. I'm rolling with him as the number eight overall pick this year.
I have no complaints. That was the next guy up on my board, and I think you could differentiate between Eckler and Chubb. If this is a full point PPR deal, then yes, Eckler is higher, I think, in my opinion. But Chubb is right there, and hopefully if he stays healthy, we kind of just see him do what we thought he would do this year as like a top 16 pick.
So, yeah, I mean, if you extrapolate his games throughout a 16-game season, he's – you know, if he's coming off a 16-game season, I bet you we think of him right up there in that tier, like right behind Cook and Henry.
I suspect most people will not let Saquon Barkley fall to the number 10 overall pick in their 2021 first-round mock drafts. For us, that's where I'm having it right now. I'm a little bit worried about the Giants' offense. I don't know what we're going to get at quarterback. It's hard to say right now if Daniel Jones is around. I don't know what you're going to have at wide receiver with Golden Tate throwing his hissy fits and Sterling Shepard and everything else like that. Evan Engram might be in the Pro Bowl and also cut by his team in the same year because his contract is what it is right now. And I think they have franchise tagged him, but I don't know if they get a re-signing out of that. The offensive line is still in shambles, despite what Liss says as well. And the defense was the one improving part of it. I just don't know if you can fix all those aspects. I know the Giants can still compete for a playoff spot this Sunday, but they are also still a team that will be guaranteed below 500, and that impacts things negatively for Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. I like Chubb way more. I like Austin Eckler in what I'm assuming will be an improved situation. Again, you can't get much worse mm-hmm. than Anthony Lynn and Shane Steichen. Yep. I think you could do worse in a weird Giants situation. That's why Barkley's 10 for me.
You're going to laugh when I show you my list because I had Barkley 10 as well. I was like, okay, here's the buy low one. I thought maybe this is going to be a little shocking, but nope, you nailed it. Yeah, he's the perfect buy low guy. I mean, we're talking the number one overall or the number two overall pick. Some people taking him number one overall even this year. Like there was a little bit, not so much of a debate over there. Definitely a top three player. The injury was suffered early enough in the year, and he's young enough in his career that I'm not too worried about him coming back at full speed.
I didn't mention the injury stuff at all, because I'm right there with you. It does not concern me the slightest. It's what the Giants will do in the offseason now. Maybe they do things to improve the quarterback position and offensive line and also solidify what you have at wide receiver. That's great. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have an offseason for the first time with Joe Judge now to maybe implement things that you couldn't have done previously. All that being said, I still think it's a bad offensive line with a bad quarterback and kind of mundane mm-hmm. skill position guys. That all weighs Barkley down despite the incredible talent he is.
I mean, put Saquon Barkley on the Chiefs, he's the number one overall pick running away.
Oh, for sure.
And, you know, put him on the Packers, he's the number one overall pick running away. Put him on any kind of team with positive game script, you got a stud on your hands here. But in this situation, he kind of falls to around the turn here. Here's a guy I had ranked one spot ahead of Barkley, just behind Chubb. I'm going to go DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes. Okay, good.
I think, you know, he's age 28, so I'm not too worried about this was his age 28 season. I'm not too worried about a decline coming yet. I mean, he's played in 15 or 16 games every year of his NFL career. He's 1,372 receiving yards. The touchdowns came down a little bit this year, and one of those was a Hail Mary. But I like the trajectory that Kyler Murray and the Cardinals overall are going. He's going to maintain their number one option, a huge part. And they've got just enough weapons to kind of distract you from DeAndre Hopkins. So volume-wise, 111. If he plays in Week 17 here, he could have his career high in catches in his first year with the Cardinals. So I like everything where this is going. DeAndre Hopkins, number 11 for me.
And Hopkins actually plays all 16 games, unlike Davante Adams, and can do the upside of Tyreek Hill with the floor of Davante Adams. So you could actually make a case that Hopkins is number one overall wide receivers. I don't think so. I get a little bit worried about the Kyler Murray aspect as a negative. You mentioned as a positive, which is fine. If Murray can't develop as a passer, I think there should be some legitimate concerns as to what DeAndre Hopkins' numbers look like. Mm-hmm. However, I think the Cardinals are a sneaky team that could actually draft wide receiver. You have Larry Fitzgerald, who's about 75 years old. You have Christian Kirk, who's fine in the slot but doesn't do much else. Mm-hmm. Andy Isabella did not do what you want him as a second-round pick. You need speed, and there's a lot of really capable, fast wide receivers that are available in this upcoming draft. Mm-hmm. And depending on if the Cardinals are able to move up even 7 or 8 picks, you can get a really quality guy to partner alongside Hopkins and make him even more dangerous.
Yeah, and I wouldn't worry about that individual that you're saying taking touches away from Hopkins by any means. It helps him get more open, draw less attention. DeAndre Hopkins has had good wide receivers by his side in Houston. He's had terrible, terrible bottom barrel quarterbacks. Like if you told me Kyler Murray was going to miss the entire 2021 season, maybe I wouldn't give DeAndre Hopkins a first round grade, but I'd still scoop him up in the second grade because it just doesn't matter. Yeah. He seems to be matchup proof. He's similar to Devontae in a sense where his physicality and his catch radius can overcome a lot of bad quarterback play.
Yeah, I completely see that. My final pick and the final pick of the 2021 first round mock draft that we're doing on the podcast here, Michael Thomas. You had mentioned it. He was off your list. I made sure he was on mine at the very end. And this is more of an indictment on what is going to happen from the Saints quarterback situation. Mm-hmm. If Drew Brees retires, is it Taysom Hill? Is there going to be a different option altogether? We don't really know right now, but I still think Michael Thomas, I'm betting on the talent and the situation in that offense right now. In a full point PPR league, he's probably ahead of Saquon Barkley for me and ahead of Nick Chubb. So goes all the way up to number 9 overall. You could make Hopkins go up to that point too. I think you're going to see a rise overall in these top wide receivers in full point, but in a half point PPR, which we're drafting in, I'll take him at number 12 and feel confident that I'm getting a floor and I'll be able to come back with whatever running back I want to afterwards.
Mm-hmm. I like it and I don't like it because I think I'd almost rather take DK Metcalf. I love where he's going, man. He's got a great quarterback. It's only getting better. He's going to get to that point where he's in this top tier or he's matchup proof. And we could be talking about taking DK Metcalf 5th overall when we do this mock draft a year from now. So he was next up on my wide receiver board. And then you want to throw out some honorable mentions out there? Notice we didn't take Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, nope. No quarterbacks. We had Lamar last year, so no quarterbacks altogether.
Yeah, we learned our lesson. I mean, Mahomes will be the number one quarterback going into the 2021 season. I don't think there's really any questions about that. Josh Allen, great. great season, but I still think Mahomes comes first in that situation. But again, all these players are much less replaceable at their position there. And then, you know, rounding out my list, I put Aaron Jones on there, but you don't necessarily know. I don't think he quite squeaks in the first round. And some other guys just, you know, honorable mention types, Stephon Diggs, Jonathan Taylor, and God, I cannot quit Joe Mixon. I think he'll be good in this league eventually. And if they can get Burrow back, and I mean, they've got the makings of a very, very good offense in Cincinnati. They have tons of other weaknesses, But if that team can, and they play in a tough division. I mean, it's not like Baltimore or Pittsburgh are going away anytime soon. So I can see, you know, a lot of negative game script there. But if they can ever manage to get that turned around, Joe Mixon will be part of it. So again, I'll be that guy who wastes a mid-second round pick on Joe Mixon and something or another happens. But, you know, maybe the year, essentially what was a year off, helped them. We'll see.
Well, you'll tell me, like, what Washington does this offseason is going to greatly impact how I view Antonio Gibson, who would be my next running back. Like, I took Michael Thomas 12. I think the next overall player is Stephon Diggs, and if I said Thomas and Diggs is my core to start a fantasy draft, I'd be ecstatic about that. Mm-hmm. Even though I know I need to chase running backs, I think we're going to have a little bit deeper later on. Like, I talked about this with Jim Coventry on SiriusXM last week. You're going to have like a couple of other running backs, whether it be Clemson, Alabama, guys giving you more rookies in there. DeAndre Swift, Dobbins, Taylor, Gibson, all added to that as well. Mm-hmm. I think instead of debating between David Johnson and Todd Gurley in the third or fourth round, we're actually going to have some value at running back in that spot this year. Mm-hmm. So it isn't as crucial for me to draft a running back in the first 12 picks because I know I can get a guy I feel I can buy in talent later on.
Yeah, outside of all those guys, I put Jonathan Taylor the highest.
Yes, because me too.
He really came on big time at the end of this season. Solid, strong Colts offensive line. Did they sign Rivers for more than a year? I don't know off the top of my head.
I thought it was like maybe the second year kind of option type of deal. But
okay. Well, I'm sure they'll figure it out. Maybe they'll talk about Andrew Luck out of retirement. Wouldn't that be something? then bump Jonathan Taylor up even more. Who knows? But no, Jonathan Taylor would have been my first pick of the second round in this situation. But no, good first round mock there. It was very, very surprising. Well, maybe not so surprising given we've done this show together all year long. But we pretty much had this, you know, our lists were so similar.
Number one overall pick, Christian McCaffrey. Number two, Alvin Kamara. Derrick Henry went number three in a half-point PPR setting, 12 teams. Delvin Cook, number four. Travis Kelce was the bigger surprise at number five overall. Davante Adams at six. Tyreek Hill, seven. Austin Eckler became another surprise at number eight overall in a half-point PPR. Nick Chubb, number nine. Saquon Barkley fell all the way to number 10. And then we rounded out the first round 21 mock draft with DeAndre Hopkins and Michael Thomas. And that does it for our final show of the RotoWire NFL podcast season. Of course, we'll be back next year, hopefully doing the same type of thing. I will hopefully have a kid that will be keeping me wide awake.
The cat's out of the bag now? I wasn't sure.
I already gave the reveal on SiriusXM. Here's the reveal on the podcast as well. To those of you listening, yes, my wife and I are pregnant. We are due at the beginning of July, maybe end of June. So it really will be that first month. Like, I'll actually be back, and it will be right back into football season. We couldn't have timed it any better if we tried. So
yeah, I mean, hopefully at that time, you know, we'll all be vaccinated. We'll be back to normal. I mean, the NFL podcast is going to continue with the DFS guys a couple times a week, you know, occasional off-season updates.
John and Mario also doing plenty of stuff as well. So you'll get plenty of RotoWire coverage for the NFL, just not from Jake and I very much often. Mm-hmm. We'll see you back on these airwaves probably closer to the end of July with our kind of precursor podcast getting you set for the NFL football season. Hopefully everything is normal and we can kind of get back to the routine, but thank you truly for sticking with us, for participating on Twitter with us, and making this football season as great as it was, given the circumstances. It really was a fun show and great to do with you, Jake.
Yeah, absolutely. And right back at you, Joe. And if we helped you this year, hopefully we did. The best thing you can do is get us a head start for next year, rate and review the podcast, of course. And if you want to check out the website, rotowire.com/pod, for 10 days, no credit card required. Our jobs don't quit. We stay busy during the off season here. Joe's got some NBA gambling work he's going to be doing. Yes. I've got college basketball. You can check me out. I mean, Conor McGregor fights in January. I'll do an MMA podcast then. So I definitely won't be removed from the airways entirely. Just a little bit less until March Madness and the real college basketball comes around. But man, it's been a pleasure doing this show every year. Always sad to see it finish, but hopefully we helped you guys. Hopefully help you guys win some titles, win some money, and we'll have you back next year.